Well, I tried really hard this week to practice, to rehearse for my song. And no matter how many hours I put in, I still can't sing. So you will be pleased. That's a reference to last week. Julio was here and he part of his message, which I found very inspiring. He sang for us. Well, I'm not going to do that. When I spoke last time, we spoke about trusting in the Lord. And there is something that goes with that, and it's trust and obey. So I want to look at the whole area of obedience. I know, I'm sure you can think of times in your life where you know, and I'm talking about what the Lord says to us, what he says to us through his rhema word and his written word. There's times you've looked at something, read something, and thought, yeah, okay, I know that's what it says, but. And then we struggle sometimes to walk in that. I know that God says I need to forgive, but. So to be obedient, we need to forgive. And I know for myself, many, many years ago, when I was a young Christian, we used to meet together with different churches, and we went to Fakenham, and there was a man there who was sharing God's word, and then he felt he had some prophetic word. And I was standing in anticipation, and I was right at the end of the queue, that end, and he started to pray for people down here, then he stopped and he walked over to me and he said, "Son, there's a word in you, but it won't be, there's a word over you, but it won't be in you until you mature." So I thought, great, I'm going to be 93 before God can use me. And then as I'm praying into that, I felt for me, what that actually meant was when I become obedient. When God says it, will I do it? Now, there's times we look through scripture where we can understand that tension. But there's times where we know God speaks to us. Will you do this? And you said, yes, I will. I want you to do that. And then we don't. So I want to talk about obedience. And I want to bring some some scripture in. And I want us to know that we're not on our own when we come to struggles. We're not on our own when it comes to walking this walk. And understanding what God has for us. Now, in Genesis 22:12, you'll know this story. I'm just going to read this portion out. And it's, "Do not lay a hand on the boy, your son, your one and only son." Just imagine what Abraham was asked to do. He was asked to sacrifice his one and only. Yet God had said to him that his descendants would be as numerous. And yet this first one, he could have thought, that's it, that's gone. I want to read it and try and bring something out of it for us today. He said, "Do not do anything to him." Hang on, let me start again. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." He'd got to the point where the fire was ready to go, and he was about to kill the sacrifice, which was his one and only son. And at that point, this is where this portion of scripture comes in. And it talks about fear here. Now, you could be mistaken by thinking that Abraham did what he did, or he would have done what he was going to do, what he was asked to do, because he feared God. But let's read it and see what this scripture says to us. "Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over to look and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" And the truth I want to bring out in this portion of scripture is when God asks you to do something, one, you need to be sure it's him. It's not fake. It's not the Antichrist, it's Christ. It's God talking to you through his word or directly through his rhema. If it's God, he will provide. So we may look at something and go, there's no way. God wants me to do this, but there's no way I can do that. The Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain that the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. An angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven the second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. It wasn't out of fear, it was out of obedience. And the Lord is calling us to do things at times. He's calling us to walk a certain way. He'll call you to do something that he's not equipped me to do. He'll call me to do something that he's not equipped you to do. The difference is, he's called me to do it, he hasn't called you to do it. He's called you to do it, he hasn't called me to do it. That's the difference. But when we look through God's word, there are principles, there are things that God's put in place for all of us. If we love him, we'll be obedient to his call. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. So as we look through God's word together, as we look through what he says to us afresh, I heard Susan, I think it was today, she said, I've never seen this before. I'm sure I've read it loads of times, but I've never seen this like I have this morning. And that's why God's word says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So there might be something that you may hear and see afresh today that will help us to be obedient. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. You know, it's us. We know God, don't we? If you know God, then God asks us to obey him. There's many people that God hasn't called because they don't know him. They don't know his voice. We're asked to do things that other people aren't asked to do. Why? Glad you asked. Because we're his children. He wants us to obey, to trust him and obey him. And as we obey, then the blessings come, I believe. But we need to be sure that it's God speaking. We need to be sure that it's his voice, that it's his word that we're reading. In Leviticus 18:4, you must obey my laws. Now, this is Old Testament, talking to God's people. There's a set of rules and regulations, a set of laws and decrees that were put in place for God's people. It didn't equate to the Amalekites, but it did to Israel. God's talking to his people. He talks to us today through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. You must obey my laws and be careful to follow my decrees. I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and laws, for the person who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord. You know, there's a saying, if we live by the sword, we die by the sword. Well, if we live by the word, we'll die by the word, in the word, because of the word, we will understand God's grace, God's purpose. In James 1, New Testament, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. I remember reading this for the first time and thinking, oh, great. You know, I've just not got to listen to it or read it, I've got to do it. There's a big difference, isn't there? By listening, by reading, there's a big difference to doing. I can know, how many times have you seen people, if I just paraphrase, you imagine the man with the big, thick King James Bible under his arm and he's very, very righteous in his own sight. Or the woman that's very pious in her own sight. She knows everything about Scripture. And when you look at their lives, you could be forgiven for thinking, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want it. That's because they hear the word, but they don't do the word. And for us, we're being encouraged not just to listen to the word and deceive ourselves, but to do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, that gives freedom, that's God's grace, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There are blessings in obedience. So my question is, has God asked you to do something specifically? Is he calling you to a specific thing? Has he challenged you in a specific way? Well, if you acknowledge his voice and you're obedient, then we're blessed. We may not see it, but we are blessed. How do I know that? Because God says so. In John 14, starting at 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Now, as Christians, we could ask one another that question, do you love God? And we'd probably say yes. Keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. We're not left on our own. So as I bring this challenge to us by saying, let's be obedient to what God says. There are times in our lives, and I'm sure there's times in your lives. I know for me, there's been times where I'd rather not do this thing that God has called me to do. But I know that God has called me to do it, and that's the frustration. Because I know God has called me, I have two choices, be obedient or disobedient. If I want to be blessed, I have to be obedient. But it's the harder road so often to take. But God doesn't leave us on our own. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither see or know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, but he's talking to us because we are disciplined of the Lord. We are followers of Christ. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. There's a promise to us. As we walk in obedience, because he lives, we also will live. On the day you will recognize that I am in the Father and you are in me, I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Now, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. God will always provide. The Lord provides. When he calls, he equips, he anoints, he enables. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, has God said? You can easily be deceived. Go right back to the garden. Right in the beginning, did God really say, don't eat of that tree? Did God really say? Yes, he did. So if we can answer that question, did God say, and we can say, yes, he did, then if we love him, we'll be obedient to him. Will it be difficult at times? Of course it will. But the word of God is sharper than the two-edged sword. It will bring division at times, but it will bring health and it will bring wholeness. Sometimes we have to cut away the rot in order for the goodness to stay. When we look at a tree or a plant and we prune it, sometimes there's what they call dead wood, and that dead wood has to be pruned off for the rest of the good wood to grow. And that's the same in your life and my life. As we look through what God's word says to us and through us, we can be encouraged. We can look at these illustrations, stories, truths that the Bible gives us and be encouraged. Because if God did it for them, he can do it for us. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, Moses had a mission, but he didn't complete it. And Joshua was the one that was going to take the people of Israel into the promised land. There's a point where God promised and lots of miracles happened, but because of the grumbling, and complaining of God's people, they walked round and round the mountain time after time. Now, I'm not very good at navigating. My good friend Nigel will testify to that, especially when I go to Wales. I'll come back, yeah. I say to my wife at times, Have we passed this before? Have we passed this before? Some years ago, we've got a friend called Alison, and she wanted us to take her to see her mother-in-law. And we're driving down the motorway, and she's talking and talking, and I said, look, you need to tell me when I need to turn. She said, the one we just passed. So I went 10 miles down the road, turned around, and come all the way back, and I said to her, you need to tell me when we need to turn. She said, the one we just passed. So we need to have our eyes open. We need to know that God is speaking to us. God had a plan for Moses, but it didn't come to fruition through him, but it did come to pass. There may be something that God has spoken into your heart, and because of time, because of finances, because of age, because of whatever, you may not be able to accomplish it, but God has put it in your heart, and he has said it will come to pass. So when we look at this story of Joshua, there are things that someone else prayed for, and I will see them come to pass. There'll be things that someone else gave to, and you will reap the benefit. There's things that God places on other people's hearts that we will get the fruit. Why? Because if we're obedient to his call, we will be blessed. That's a promise God has given us. There's times we may say, I don't feel blessed, but you are blessed. Why? Because you're kingdom people. Now, after his death, it goes on to say, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. God said this right at the beginning. Go and spy out the land that I am going to give you. And yet they came back and the majority went, too tough. They're too big. I feel like a grasshopper. They're huge. They're giants. There's no way we can do it. And then two of God's people said, we can take them. Why? Because he that is in us, they didn't use these words, but I am, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. They stood upon the promise of God. And you can be with other Christians and they can't see what you see because you're standing on the promises of God through obedience. Has God said it? Well, it will come to fruition then. And you'll enter this land. They waited a long time, years, 40 years in the wilderness, going round and round and round. But now he says, get ready, cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to give to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. See, God keeps his promises. Your territory will be extended from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river of Euphrates, all the Hittite country, the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, he's talking to. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, that's a promise that God gives not just to Joshua, but to you and me. His word says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So when you're walking this walk and you may feel isolated at times, then you need to be assured that God will provide. He's given us the advocate to walk with us. As we heard Julio testify when he asked somebody what the paracletus was, the one who walks beside us, the Holy Spirit. God's promised that he lives in us. So where we are, he is there with us. You don't need to sit and wait for him to come. He's with us. I in you and you in me. We are a part of what God is doing. And if we be obedient, we will see his blessings. Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Not just courageous. Not as I heard someone say earlier, we're overcomers. We're more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors. We're not just courageous. We're very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. In other words, stay on straight street that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's so easy, isn't it, to be afraid? You know, fear in its right context is a good thing. If we're afraid of falling off the edge, we're not going to get too close. If we're afraid of the heat of the flame, we're not going to get too close. So some points in fear in our lives, it's healthy. But it says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The Lord will provide. It doesn't matter what he calls us to do, he'll be there with us. He's there. He's that one at the end of the finishing line when we've run that race saying, well done, well done. And he's the one cheering us on and saying, you can do this. Emma, what's your mum's name? Ruth. I know you're going to listen to this at some point, so I just felt I need to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So in Genesis 6:13, so God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all these people. Now, you know this story. Noah built an ark. Just get the picture here. We're talking about obedience. So there's never been such a thing as rain. We could easily say, oh, I could imagine it flooding today because the rain is torrential. Just imagine the rain coming down and the waters bursting forth and the two meeting together. There's going to be a torrent. We see on the news reports of mudslides that cut canyons in a matter of hours because the force is so overpowering. We can understand it because we've seen what history has done. Yet Noah, the sun is shining. Everything is well. And God says, build an ark. I've had enough of these people being disobedient, being depraved, doing everything I've told them not to do. I'm starting afresh. So I want you to build an ark for yourself, and I want you to fill it with your loved ones. I want you to bring the animals that I call you to bring, and I'm going to do a new thing. Just imagine what he was asked to do. Yeah, but I'm not a carpenter. Yeah, but that's big. I don't have the materials. And the animals aren't going to listen to me. I've never heard of a thing called rain. Why do I need a boat? Can't I just climb a tree? You can imagine, can't you? Put yourself in a position where God asks you to do something and you think of something that's far easier than what he's asked you to do. You've asked me to go around this way, Lord, but if I go that way, it's quicker. But God didn't ask you to go this way, did he? He asked you to go that way. You've asked me, Lord, to do this in my family's life. But I know what they need. They need that. I didn't ask you to give them that, did I? I asked you to give them this. Can you see where I'm going? It's simple, isn't it? It's simple. But is it simple? Because we have to be obedient or disobedient. And the thing is, we don't see our disobedience. But if we're not obedient, then we're disobedient. If we don't go God's way, we're going our way. So it's simple. But it's not simple. It's easy for me to say it. It's easy for me to communicate it and bring this story and say, yeah, but God must have shown him what was going to happen. No, he didn't. Scripture doesn't tell us that. He said, build an ark for yourself. He told him what wood to use. Make the rooms. Coat it with pitch, inside and out. He showed him how to build it. When we look at our lives, we look into Scripture, God's building blocks are there. He shows us how to build our lives. He shows us how to trust him. He shows us how to be obedient. He gives us an opportunity to walk away or walk to. You know, repentance is that simple thing. Instead of going your way, you return. Turn around and go God's way. That's repentance. God gives us every material we need in his word to build safety into our lives. And I want to suggest to us afresh that trust and obey, they're two friends. They're two friends. As we trust God and we obey him, I believe we'll see his blessings. Doesn't matter how difficult we find it, if we will trust him and obey him, we will be fruitful. My final scripture is found in Luke 5. And this is a very simple one to bring because we're very familiar with this portion of scripture. But there again, we need to put ourselves in Peter's shoes. Put ourselves in the vicinity of the disciples, the fishermen. Put ourselves in that situation where we toil and we struggle and yet we see no fruit. We toil and we struggle, yet we see no fruit. Yet we've been brought up to fish for fish, and yet we fail so often. And starting at this portion of scripture, it says this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. They weren't just listening to a podcast. They weren't just listening to some random person. They were listening to what God had to say. And if we will position ourselves where we can hear what God is saying, we can do what he calls us to do. And when you look at this picture, when you understand these individuals that were craving to see what God was going to say next, what's Jesus going to say? They didn't have the New Testament that we have, but they had the revelation in their hearts. The law was written on their hearts. The Bible says that the law is written on our hearts, that we don't have a circumcision in the flesh, but we have a circumcision of the heart. And God has given us his precepts. He's given us his word. And the crowd were around him, listening to the word of God. They saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Fishermen had been out, hadn't caught anything, but they were cleaning and mending their nets ready for the next catch. Now, there may be times in your life where you've toiled and you've struggled and you've done what you think was right, and yet you've caught nothing. You've prayed for a loved one, yet they're still in the position they were before you started praying. You've given finances into someone's life, and yet they've not used it for good. They've squandered it. You've been fishing all night, and yet you've caught nothing. He saw at the water's edge the two boats. He got into one of the boats, this is Jesus, the one belonging to Simon, this is Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So he got into Peter's boat and he said, just take me out a little way so I can speak to these people. You know, there'll be times where the Lord that provides will give you a small taste of the bigger thing to come. You see, if Peter wasn't obedient in the first request, he wouldn't have seen the miraculous outpouring of God's grace, would he? If he'd have said, look, I'm tired, I've been fishing, I've got nets to repair. But he didn't say that. He did what he was asked to do. He was obedient to what God said. And so we must not be those that will despise the day of small things. We need to be those that will understand that God will test our hearts. You know, when we prove something, we test it to see. So this chair, when it was manufactured, it was tested to make sure it takes our weight. And it's the same with the Lord, I believe. He don't tempt us, but he does test us at times. He wants to see if our heart is willing. He wants to see if what we pray we're willing to do. Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, give to me that I may give to others. Lord, because you've forgiven me, I'm going to forgive others. Lord, because you've helped me, I'm going to help others. Lord, because I trust you, I'm going to obey you. Asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. There again, just imagine yourself in Peter's position. You've been fishing all night. You're tired. If you haven't had anything to eat, you could be hangry. You could be hungry and angry at the same time. You could be frustrated. that this is your livelihood, and you've been doing this for a long period of time. And then here's this Jesus comes along. Not only does he say, you know, take me out a little bit to shore and sit there and wait while I preach to the crowd, he now asks me to go back out to the place that I was only a short time ago. And when we look at this portion of scripture, don't ever feel that you can't go back round that mountain to put it right. God may have asked you to do something and you didn't do it, but he might give you a second opportunity. He might say to you afresh, today, tomorrow, next week, trust me, obey me, go out into deep water. When we go into deep water, I'm not very good at swimming. I don't know about you. My brother said to me when I was just this big, he said, I'm going to teach you how to swim. So he picked me up and threw me in the deep end. And I sunk. But I learned how to do doggy paddle. I learned how to float very, very quickly. And sometimes we don't feel that when God puts us in deep water, that he's going to be there to save us. My brother was there to save me if I needed saving. He didn't just throw me in. He was there to protect me. And that's the same as the Holy Spirit in your life. When God calls us to go out into deep water, he won't leave us there on our own. If we start to sink, he'll pick us up. How do I know that? Because his word says so. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is in us. Simon asked him, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Remember those words, not to see if you can get anything, for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. You see, if Peter hadn't obeyed God when he said, go out a little bit from shore, he wouldn't have been in the boat. He wouldn't have been in the boat with Jesus at that time when Jesus says, now go into deep water. If he hadn't obeyed Jesus when he went into deep water, he wouldn't have been there when Jesus said, let down your nets for a catch. Not let your nets down and see what we can get, but let your nets down for a catch. If he hadn't have been obedient to the first one, the second one, he wouldn't have experienced the third one. You see, the Lord will provide. If he's made that promise to you directly or indirectly through his word, he will provide. We have an opportunity to be obedient. As he was obedient to God's call, as he let his net down, he saw the miracle. He didn't see the fish and then let his net down. He let his net down, then he caught the fish. And so often it's true for you and I. It's in our lives that as we do the things God calls us to do, on that journey we see the miracles. I know I can testify in my own life that if it's my way, I wouldn't have done it that way. But it wasn't my way, it was God's way. Because God did something, because he said something, he brought it through to fruition. If God's going to bless me, surely he's going to bless you. I'm no more valuable than the birds. I'm no more valuable than you. If God says I'm precious, then surely you're precious. If he says I'm a conqueror, you're a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. If God says he'll bless me through obedience, then he'll bless you. So we have a challenge today, and that challenge is, has God said it? He will provide. He will walk with us. He will stand by while we tread water. He will catch us if we fall, and we will see the fruit if we are obedient. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us for such a time as this. Lord, here I am. Here we are. Use us. Send us. Lord, speak to us afresh, we pray. Lord, the things that you called us to do and we didn't do them, may we go round that mountain a second time. May you give me the opportunity, Lord, a second time to put into practice my faith. Lord, I thank you that when you say, let the net down, there will be a harvest. Lord, you say when we pray for people, they will come to it will come to pass. Lord, you say that the harvest is white. Lord, you say that you lack harvesters. Here I am, Lord, send me. Father God, your word says that I am blessed. I am blessed. I am loved. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. Lord, I am justified. I am sanctified. I am set apart, not so that I can languish in my own existence, but that I may lavish the love that you've given me on other people. Lord, Father God, help me to be obedient today, tomorrow, as I walk forward. Lord, may I not be like the Israelites that went round the mountain grumbling and complaining, but Lord, create in me a clean heart, as the psalmist says, and renew a right spirit that I may hear you and be obedient to what you call me to do. I ask this according to your plan and your purpose. And we all said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, Emma.